Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat brought to you live, on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Robbie Raz here with you, as always, for the last time, final episode.
Not for long. Not for long.
The Logan party can start. He finally got rid of me. And I mean, we're going to talk about that. We don't have a guest. It's just going to be us. So we'll talk about that for the next hour. That's the other question, but we'll get into that in a second. Cigar Chat's brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the world's finest cigars. Check out Gurkha at your local B&M. They literally have a blend for everybody. The new one is the Heritage and the Heritage Maduro. Check those out. And that Cellar Reserve line, I really liked the, I think it was the 21, which was the Connecticut, the Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, had some flavors to it. So check those out at your local B&M. If you can't find them at your local shop, which would surprise me, go to GurkhaCigars.com. Logan, how's everything in Texas?
It is a little, well, first of all, I'm losing my voice, which kind of sucks. So it's not going to be a good episode to tell everyone how bad you suck, but no, it's doing good. It's a little chilly down here, and by chilly I mean 65 degrees, but for Texas it's pretty chilly.
Yeah, it's the weather's definitely a change in here in California, which is nice. I'm a big fan of the fall season, and there's that, you know, that smell, that fall smell, you know what I'm talking about. I associate it with cut grass, because when I was a kid I played soccer for like 14 years. And it was always fall when we would start practicing it. We'd play our game Saturday mornings, and I always remember that smell of
and mom and dad would
freshly
mom
cut
and dad
grass.
Would cut up orange slices for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, whoever the team mom was that week, you know, and there was always one who would bring like a little Kudos bar. I don't even know if they make Kudos anymore, but like a little snack bar,
Maybe.
Or like a chewy granola bar type situation. That was the week that we always looked forward to. And a Capri Sun, boom. And you knew.
Dude, Cowboys get into those. Oh, man, takes you back.
You knew you were cool when you put your straw in the bottom of the Capri Sun and you drank it upside down.
I can honestly say I never did that, not once.
I didn't have the dexterity to get it through that little tiny little silver hole. Giggity. So
dude,
I would
that
just...
was. It's all about. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow,
just got that.
So there's like, an awful lot of double entendre here. We're just going to move forward. Oh, that's good. So what the hell are we going to talk about, man?
We're going to talk about – I don't know, man, what we're going to talk about. I mean, we can reminisce and talk about, you know, all the good times we had.
So, yeah.
We should tell funny stories about each other.
Yeah. I've got one that's not that funny, but it did – I was recently in Nicaragua, and it made me think of you. Just for the listeners on the AFRN, this is news you guys wouldn't know. I have accepted a job as the brand manager of Mombacho Cigars, and they're located in Granada, Nicaragua, not Esteli. I think they're actually one of the very few factories.
Only, right?
There's a couple of smaller ones, you know, that you know, kind of touristy spots. But on a larger scale, and really Mombacho isn't on a large scale when you compare it to like Drew Estate.
Well, of course,
the factory size is very
but like
different.
Commercially exporting, like
yes.
Commercially exporting stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they'd be the only one in Granada, which is kind of a sin, man. Granada is it's a beautiful place, very different from Esteli.
It is.
it's nicer. Yeah, it's a bit more touristy. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's more a bit more Americanized.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, it still has that Spanish colonial feel to it. Casa Favilla,
it does. It does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the architecture is that Spanish colonial style. And Granada was one of the first cities in Central America, from what I understand.
I think it was the first one, is it not?
Yeah, it might even be, the first one. It's those buildings, they've been there forever. Casa Favilla, that is the factory of Mombacho, is building's been around forever. I don't have
it. It was a mission, wasn't it? It was like a mission or church, wasn't it?
I believe it was just a house to begin with. It's probably been many things. It's been there for about 500 years. So it's probably been many things throughout its iteration. Or iteration is not the right word there, throughout its life. Now I think the building was kind of going into disrepair when Mombacho purchased it and, you know, fixed it up, made it into a factory. It's a very unique experience. I know people always say very unique. You just need to say unique. It's not very unique. It's just unique.
It's unique New York. Unique New York. That's off Anchorman, just so you know. Oh, so, Rob, okay. Let me ask you a question. All the listeners want to know. You got a good thing going here with Cigar Chat. You and Logan, probably the most dynamic duo in cigar media. Been doing your show for 5 years. Why are you bailing?
Who asked that?
Me.
I wasn't actually prepared to answer this question. It's, you know, this is a unique opportunity for me. Been covering this industry, God, since 2009. I know that was when I started Triple R, Robbie Raz Reviews, which if you go to RobbieRazReviews.com, you end up at CigarFederation.com. That was 2009. We met, I think, via Twitter, and Logan stalked me on Twitter. I think I could actually
That's
prove
not
this.
Exactly what happened.
I think I can actually prove
Oh,
this
you probably can.
It was a direct message that you sent
No,
me
but I reached out. I have no shame in my game. Like, hey man, if I want to reach out to you, I will. I don't care. I ain't scared. This ain't Tinder. Like, there's no rules.
I remember when I got that message. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? And I looked, and you had like, I don't know, a couple thousand followers or something at the time. I don't remember. And it was a lot more than I had. I was like, oh, this guy's legit. I need to talk to this guy. And then I realized it was your work account.
Oh, yeah.
That was why you had so many followers. Anyway, to get back to the question, I've loved Mombacho's product since, I mean, we talked about it a lot. We've had Claudio on the show. We've had Marcus on the show. Marcus Ratti is one of the founders of the company. Claudio, I really hope I said your last name right. I've never actually asked him how to say it, but I can remember. He's the president and master blender. He's been the master blender and the president for the last 2 or 3 years. I'm probably speaking out of turn there. Someone else knows better than I do. Ask Coop, he'll know. And when the opportunity arose, and it felt like a good fit, and that's that. You know, I mean, when you have an opportunity to do something that you're passionate about and work in an industry that you love, I know the timing is a little bit weird with all the FDA stuff and everything, but I'm hopeful that that either that won't be an issue, or you know, I mean, now with the way the election went, who knows what's going to happen. You know, yeah, Rudy Giuliani loves his cigars, man. And he's going to have, depending on where you read, he's going to have a pretty prominent position in the cabinet. So hopefully that bends in our favor. There's actually a couple of really good stories on, or write-ups, I should say, not stories, on Half Wheel about the impact of the election and things like that. And I think Coop has done a couple of things too. That's not really our deal here at Cigar Federation, but they're definitely worth a read, so you get an idea of the impact of this election, because I don't think anybody saw this coming. It's a company that I believe in. It's people that I enjoy, and now that I've been able to go down to, was down in Granada for 4 or 5 days, and for a get to know the factory type situation, get to know more of the people in the company, and I couldn't be happier with the position that I've landed in, and with the company that I'm with. I love the product. I love the people, and the factory is awesome. It's so unique, man, compared to the factories that you know, we visited in Esteli. Not to say it's better or worse. It's just so different. That's you have an opportunity to do something in a field that you love and provide for your family. Why not give it a shot?
Yeah, why not?
Does that answer your question?
Good answer, Rob.
Thank you. Sure.
Doesn't mean my feelings aren't hurt, Rob.
You know, it's funny. Claudio and I were talking about this position for a while, and Logan, I let you know pretty early on in the process because I knew I didn't want to leave you high and dry. Because
I wouldn't say that early.
Pretty early on.
You had already basically said you were going to hire. You got the job.
It
was a while.
It came together pretty quickly. I mean, the details needed some time to work out, but I think once I realized that they were looking for somebody with my skill set and they realized that I was interested, it was the match was kind of made at that point. I mean, like I said, I met the people in the past and had a good relationship with Claudio. So, I mean, the fit is, for me personally, the fit is great. And I think I can do a lot for them. My skill set really falls into areas that they have been lacking, for lack of a better term, over the last year or so. I mean, the blends are great. Everybody who smoked the cigars, even you, Logan, I know even you liked them. So, and they're not really your profile either, but I think everybody who ends up smoking the cigars does enjoy them. And so it just feels like a good fit for me.
I know. So, I mean, yeah. So, Rob, now that you're not in cigar media, what is the thing you're most excited for being on the evil, dark side of the force on the brand side?
You know, it's interesting. There's God, I didn't know this was going to be a job interview. There's a lot that I'm excited about. My work, I'm a graphic designer by trade. That's what I went to school for, and I've done brand management in the past, and that's my job here. A lot of the work that I've done over the last few years, you know, to pay the bills and stuff, hasn't really afforded me the opportunity to be too creative, and that's something that's been lacking for me personally professionally, however you want to say it, in my professional life. And to be in a position where I can be creative and promote a product that, I mean, obviously I believe in, otherwise I wouldn't be here, is that's exciting for me. And I don't know if maybe that doesn't get some people out of bed, you know, being able to be creative.
Doesn't really blow my skirt up.
You're more of a numbers guy, right? You like a good spreadsheet. You like a good spreadsheet.
Here's the difference between Rob and Logan, everyone, if you haven't already figured this out. You ask Logan to create a logo for a product, it's something like the Colored Project. It's one sticker, completely scalable, packaging's done the same way for efficiency. You ask Rob, you launch 10 cigars, you have different packaging on all 10 cigars.
And it's
that's
not just
between you and I.
Yeah, and that's us in a nutshell. But almost went into the Austin Powers thing. This is me in a nutshell. What kind of nut is this?
Just me in a nutshell. Oh, I can't get off a nut. that's a good movie.
Yeah, I mean that's logos are part of it, but you know, being and you know, when we took over Cigar Federation, we got a chance to be creative, or at least I did, and you kind of ran things in the back end, but you know, in ways that we market the website to, you know, potential users. And I feel like we did a pretty good job with that. We have a great community here on CigarFederation.com. If you just listen to the podcast, or, you know, you're tuning in on the Armed Forces Radio Network, if you ever get a chance, it's definitely worth your time to check out the community here. But it's a generous community with, it's a very welcoming community, generous with knowledge too. There's a lot of guys here who really know their stuff. Know a lot more about tobacco than I do. So, and I'm not.
But ironically, you're the one that's going to work in the industry, which is ironic.
But the beautiful thing about this, the position that I'm in, is I don't need to be a tobacco expert. I'm not blending anything.
What is your position exactly?
Well, the title is brand manager, and if you go back and you read the press release, which I know you did.
I'm asking on behalf of the audience that's Armed Forces.
Of course.
Too busy defending our freedom to go read a stupid press release about you on Half Wheel.
Fair enough. Half Wheel didn't even post it, by the way, which I won't take first.
That's interesting.
But I will say that one of the first The second email that I received was from Patrick from Half Wheel. But Patrick and I have a pretty good relationship. We have a lot in common. He's
congrats, or was it asking you questions?
Both.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah. So my job is brand manager is kind of a loose title. Yeah. It's a little bit of marketing. It's a little bit of graphic design. And really I'm in charge of the marketing and the design and media communications. So there's a little bit of PR involved in there as well. And you'll see me, I think Coop already has me booked for Stogie Geeks. So yeah, I get to switch roles, man. This is good practice though. This is good practice to get me prepared for that. So all of those things, right now with Mombacho, their focus has been on the factory, getting the factory up and running, because they weren't always in Casa Favilli. They purchased it 2 years ago, I think. Somebody fact checked us like this
I think it was 2 years ago. It was beginning it's sometime in 2014. I know that.
Yeah. And, rebuilding the building itself and getting it, habitable and turning it into a factory and creating it the way that in their vision was a main focus, and getting Claudio up and running as the master blender so he can tweak any blends that that he felt needed to be tweaked, create the Liga Maestro, which was initially released in Italy, and the 10th anniversary, and projects for the future. So that's been the focus. If you go to the website right now, you won't find Liga Maestro. It's not there. Everything's been separated, because there was a bit of an issue with naming things. Mombacho, the trademark was owned by another company, and that's in the process of getting fixed. So just real quick, you can see this is the Tierra Volcan. It's hard to see in the lighting, but this was the Tierra Volcan band, which was the second way that this cigar was marketed. It originally was marketed just as Mombacho. So it had a band similar to this, right, same color combination, but it just said Mombacho. Then it switched to Tierra Volcan. So there's Mombacho.com and TierraVolcan.com, which makes total sense. But everything has been rebranded to this. So this is the new Tierra Volcan band, which is shipping now. So there's that Mombacho primary band, much better coloring, in my opinion, and better design, and the Tierra Volcan secondary band. And this is actually, I already smoked this one, but this is the Liga Maestro, which you guys have seen already. And I don't know if these have hit the stores.
Were you smoking that while you were working?
I was smoking this today. This was the Liga Maestro.
Believe it. You broke a sacred rule.
Secondary Liga Maestro band there. I did. Well, it's not a sacred rule anymore. Smoking's part of the job.
Because you're working.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
That's true.
So, the brand and everything is much more linear. Even if you smoke the 10th anniversary, which is a great cigar, it's on the ultra premium side. It's a $20 cigar. It's got that same Mombacho band as this one here. That was limited to 5,000 cigars, I believe. And I was listening to the Blow and Smoke radio show that Coop was on. I think it was the day after the press release went out about me taking this position. And that's with Michael Turner. Do you know Michael Turner, the former NFL running back?
He's the African-American guy, right?
Yeah, he played for the Falcons.
We met him at IPCPR.
Yeah, yeah.
He was at the Mombacho party.
Exactly, at the Mombacho party. So, he jacked up my last name, though, boy. It's funny. If you go listen to it, it's a great show. There's a lot to talk about. They talk about Jose Blanco taking on his new position, and they talk about new releases and stuff. It's a well done show. But Coop talked a little bit about me taking this position, and at the end, Michael Turner said that he actually gave a friend of his just had a baby, and as like a congratulatory gift, he gave him Mombacho 10th anniversary. That's how much he thinks of that cigar, which is kind of a nice compliment. So that's neither here nor there. But
Man, so that's shameless damn plug already. Hey, good lord.
Hey, I'm a corporate guy, man. Once I sign on, that's it. But
you might as well.
Go ahead.
Corporate ladder, here it comes.
Yeah, why not? You know,
no, just saying, Rob's.
Yeah, you got to do it. But no, it's I'm happy with where I am and the direction that I'm going. I will miss. I am gonna miss doing these shows. I did the my final pairing show with John last night, and it's. I mean, these shows have been great, and we built them from scratch. You know, and now it's on the Armed Forces Radio Network, playing you know, to millions of people, which is gratifying to know that people care enough to listen. just to remind the audience, or have nothing else better to do. Yeah, just a reminder to the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. This next segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis, the leader in cigar humidification. Set it and forget it is their tagline, and that's basically what I do. I just plug it in, and if I go in there and I hear that it's running constantly, I know I need to put some more water in there, and I should probably pay better attention, but you know me, I'm lazy. So, yeah, if you're lazy like me, check out Cigar Oasis, cigaroasis.com, and they can take care of all of your humidification needs. I'm going to fire up this Tierra Volcan. Which one am I smoking here? The Grande, which I think this is the biggest ring gauge that we offer, is at a 54 by 6. So I'm going to fire this up so Logan, you get to talk for a second.
Donkey. Let me ask you, Rob, let's reminisce for a few minutes. What was your favorite moment in the show, and what was your lowest moment in the show? And I'm going to answer first.
No, you can't answer first because we have the same answers. Let me go first.
No, actually, no. Mine are going to be completely different.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It doesn't involve the Martian and or, you know, talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, those are my two favorite moments.
I know. No, these are – for Rob, this might be Rob's least favorite moment, but for mine, it was probably one of my favorites. So I was in India, and we had Jay Lundy on the show. And as everyone knows, Jay Lundy is – he's a good dude, but he's kind of like me. He's a little rough around the edges. And I would like to say Jay's probably a little rough around the edges than myself. But – so we – I was in India. I was a little punchy, and – we started talking, Jay started drinking, and we got on the subject of little people. And we were going out to Vegas in a couple of weeks for the trade show, and he started talking about some, you know, some sexual acts he wanted to do with some little people and stuff like that. And I was agging it on, too. I was like, oh, yeah, man, just put them on and spin them around. It's going to be awesome. It'll be legit. And you should – Rob went like this, and you guys can't see me if you're listening – but you just saw Rob slowly just kind of ease back in his chair and just kind of slowly hunker down because Rob was so embarrassed. And it was so awesome.
That was easily my most uncomfortable moment on the show. I'm pretty politically correct. Although that term and has gone way off the deep end. So maybe I'm not anymore, but, when it comes to referencing a group of people and using a term that they don't want to be referenced by, and it's offensive to that group of people, that bothers me. Cause
like
I know,
Eskimo, which I didn't even know.
I'm sorry.
Like Eskimo.
That's bad.
Oh my God. Me and John had a huge discussion about this. Apparently, you can't call them Eskimos because Eskimo, or actually African-American, is to Inuit as the N-word is to Eskimo.
Mm.
Did not know that. So I offended people 2 weeks in a row. Anyways, the Inuits, continue about your political correctness.
No. That's not the point of the story. But yeah, and Jay Lundy is of AKA Cigars and Acme Cigar Company. It was pretty awkward. My job on Cigar Chat has kind of been like the job of a kindergarten teacher. Try to keep everybody focused. You know, you'll get distracted by the fire trucks or, you know, like the shiny objects. Try to keep everybody focused on the topic at hand. And sometimes it's more difficult than others, I'll tell you that. It's funny. Now that you mentioned it, I figured that's absolutely going to be one of your favorite moments. That was easily my most uncomfortable moment on the show. And of course, you kept egging them on and they wouldn't stop. And they're good people and they make good cigars. And Jay doesn't mean any harm by any of this, but it was yeah, that was tough. We've had a lot of really good moments on the show. I mean, some of my favorite shows, like the show with Pete Johnson, was great. When he's, you know, it took us forever to get Pete on the show. It just turned out we didn't really have a good way of contacting Pete. And once we contacted him, he's like, yeah, absolutely. And he stayed on for damn near 2 hours and took on every question until, you know, there weren't any left, which has only happened like once or twice. So that was one of my favorite shows. Sure. I always think of the show with from Outlaw Cigars, Kendall
Culberson.
Yeah, that was one of our more insightful shows, just into tobacco in general. I mean, that guy really knows his stuff. One of my favorite moments, you alluded to it, was when we had Gary Griffith, you know, former owner of Emilio Cigars and of
so much owner. Or he's a brand manager, much like you, Rob.
Sure, whatever. I don't know what his title was. But we had him on the show, and he was drinking some wine. And about halfway through, he says,
Gary's like 100. Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying, the preface. Gary's like 100.
Yeah. That's the rumor going around is that he's a vampire, and he's been around. He's like 350 years old. But it was a fun show, and we're about halfway through. And he's probably about – maybe 2.5 glasses of wine in, give or take. And he says, I got to pee, talk amongst yourselves. And he just got up and left. I mean, we joked about it ever since, but at the time we weren't prepared for that. We're like, wow, he really got up and left.
Or when, Eddie Ortega's girlfriend walked in front of the camera naked before the show. Remember that?
That was before the show. Nobody saw
I know, it. Hey, but it still happened.
Yeah, it's.
I did.
It reminds me of. You ever watch Modern Family?
No.
Well, it's a sitcom, and it's actually very funny.
Rob, I know what it is. I just don't watch it.
One of the first seasons, the mom, and she's pretty hot, right? The mom, I can't think of what her name is, and she walks into the daughter's room, and she's just in her. She's like in a. Like a thin nightgown and just her bra and panties, and it's open. And her daughter was Skyping with her boyfriend, and she walks in and she sees him on the computer, and he says something to her. He says, "Oh, hi." And he's like, "You know, I can see you, right?" And she had no idea. So very similar to that, where it was, she had no idea. No clue. I never met the woman, but she did walk by.
No.
And, you know, I'm going to miss doing Cigar Chat. I'm going to miss the pairing show. I think one of the things that I probably complained about the most that I'll miss the most is our IPCPR coverage. Because we really kind of pioneered the video at IPCPR thing. And I don't feel like we leveraged it the best that we could. But, God bless John for having the video equipment that he had and put us in a position to come up with videos like that. I mean, you go back and you watch our coverage and it's we're great. Good. It's great in spite of me. Like I just ask the same questions to everybody pretty much, but the video is great. The audio quality is great. And that's going to be the part that I'm going to miss, walking around and seeing everybody. Next time when I'm at IPCPR, I'm not going to be walking around. I'm just going to be chilling.
He'll be at booth 3142, and I'm going to go in there and haggle for a discount, and he's going to have to kiss my butt, people, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, you'll have to make sure John is there to get that on video. But you won't be dealing with me.
I'm going to say, Rob, I know I won't, unfortunately. Or maybe I'll just say I only deal with Rob. Mm. That's the only person I'll work with.
Yeah, that's a good way to slow the process down.
God knows that's
true. No, but, you know, I mean, going and getting the group together with, you know, you and John and Jared, we could never get Matt to come out for some reason, or Seth for that matter. And Catfish when he was around, and, you know, this year we had On and Shooter come out with us, and that was a lot of fun. It's, you know, being able to actually like hang out with you guys, in person.
It is a good week.
And not just, it's a good week. I mean, you know, IPCPR 2015 started off pretty rocky.
Real rocky.
Man.
Rob about punched me in the face for people that don't know.
It almost got violent. And I'm standing there and it's almost getting violent. And I know I would lose. I mean, you're just significantly bigger than I am.
I'm just a bigger dude.
I'm probably faster, but we were in a hallway and then in an elevator. There's nowhere to go with speed at that point. No. So I thought better of my response. But, yeah, I mean, we get along pretty well, and I think we work together pretty well. But we know how to push each other's buttons, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you going to miss? You going to miss having me around?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it'd be just not going to be the same, you know, because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and I won't name any guest names, but we're like, oh, my God, this show is going to suck. There's no way. And we've had some guests. I won't name names. We've had guests where it's like this lighter. I could have substituted the Jeep lighter in place of the guest and probably had about as much interaction with that lighter as I did the guest. And could have got about as much out of it. And Rob and I just kind of carried the show. And it's because, I mean, right now we're really talking about nothing, right? Like, but we could probably talk for 6 hours if we wanted to. And I think that's what I'm going to miss the most is, like, just being able to come on, you know, we've been doing it for 5 years. I mean, it's been weekly, not counting IPCPR, other talk show like that, but, like, just, yeah, that's probably what I'm going to miss the most.
Yeah, I mean, we've it took some doing, but, you know, once we came over as a group and kind of brought Cigar Federation back to life, because it was on life support when we came. Yeah, it was close to.
It wasn't even on life support.
Yeah,
it was dead.
Yeah, like the batteries were just about to run out, and I mean, that's what we were tasked. That was our job at the time to bring it back to life. And we built the store together, which was that was fun to you know, get that all started.
It was fun.
And build something new, you know, and not to bring it back to Mombacho, but just in the sense of why I'm leaving. It's it's not like I wanted to leave. That's not the issue. It's just when an opportunity arises and you start to think about it, and I started to realize how much I needed a new challenge. Not that, you know, running Cigar Federation isn't a challenge, because it is, and, you know, keeping the shows going, keeping the content fresh, it's a challenge. But being on, going from working for myself since 2009, so, yeah, another, I mean, 7 years where I've been been working with my clients and getting projects done and living on a very deadline-driven lifestyle, the idea of going to work with a company that everybody's kind of, and I use this analogy a lot, but it's a cliche, but everybody's kind of pulling the rope in the same direction. And it's not just me pulling it and then having other people tugging in an opposite direction. There's something very appealing about that. And I mean, I have weekends to myself now. Like, weekends are weekend time. And I get to hang out with my family, and I don't have to worry about deadlines for getting this project done or that project done. And it's the lifestyle change for me was just as attractive as being able to put my energy into a company that I believe in. So,
right.
Yeah. What else you got?
So,
You're the host now. Are you? I'm the guest.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of true. Sort of. Are you? How much are you looking forward to becoming an American Airlines Executive Platinum member?
You know, it's funny. I flew American on my trip down, and I imagine that I'll probably be doing that moving forward. I've never traveled enough to accumulate miles like you do, where I can go in the lounge and all that stuff. And I kind of hope that I hope that I don't get to that point.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
You know, I mean, the trips to Nicaragua, I know what I'm in for.
Oh, yeah.
And oddly enough.
How many times you go down there? Like two or three, or do you even know?
I'm sorry, how many will I go down?
Trips, yeah. Do you think a year to Nicaragua?
Two to three per year, give or take.
Okay.
You know, depending on what comes up. I was just down for our planning meeting. It looks like I'll be back in January for our anniversary party. And
where's my invite, dog?
Working on that. The invite is on my list of projects. Yeah, that's my list of projects. It's right up there, so you'll get it soon. Are you going to come? Have you been invited in the past?
Probably not. Dude, every time I go through Miami, I always end up having dinner with Claudio, and they're the ones that drove me and him and his wife, who's, by the way, super cool chick, drove us around Miami and took us to Walmart to try to find shirts to go down to Cigar Safari. So I know me some Claudio.
That doesn't mean you're invited.
Dude, if I message Claudio right now and I'd say, hey, where's my invite? He would be like, what? You weren't invited? I guarantee it.
Yeah, he's that kind of guy. Whether he likes you or not, he'll make that type of response.
Oh, but he loves me. I think he likes me, I think.
That's just a little dick.
Am I wrong about this?
No, I'm just teasing you. Yeah, I think that's, you know, probably two to three times a year. And, you know, IPCPR is, you know, probably a given that I'll be there. And maybe Inter Tabak in Germany in September. That may happen. And, you know, other events around the country. But, you know, bigger events, I don't want to be – I'm not a sales guy. So it's I won't be, you know, traveling around and, you know, signing up new accounts or anything. I'll be supporting those guys. And they're, I mean, obviously those guys are super important to what we do, and I'll be support for them, and I'll probably go and travel around with them for a while just to get to know them a little bit. The guys who are, you know, really out there selling the cigars and, you know, meeting with the retailers and things. So, I don't really know. I was told that, you know, my travel would probably be around 25%. Of the time, 20-25%, which when you say it's like, oh, that's not that bad, but then that's a lot. That's a week a month I'm out of town. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's a lot.
It's going to ebb and flow. I think there'll be times where I'm gone for a couple weeks and times where I'm not gone for a couple months, you know? So, right. But I mean, trips to Nicaragua for me, it's especially now that I've been to Granada and been to the factory and got to meet the people there. A quick anecdote on the other side of this break, just a reminder to the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Logan, this final segment is brought to us by
our good friends at Drew Estate. Drew Estate, smoke them. And by the way, we do have a cigar safari coming up with Drew Estate, so I'm going to quit trying to hide and joke around. I mean, the only reason I haven't announced is because I've been busy trying to announce a throwdown. And now that that's done, I'll be officially putting that up next week. But yes, we do have a cigar safari, and download the app. Don't be a poser. Losing my voice.
Do you have dates? Do you have dates for the safari?
Yes. Hold on.
Is that something you can divulge at this point? Or?
Oh, of course. Of course. Uh-huh. It's March. I believe it's the 15th through the 19th. I can pull it up right now. Let me just.
So in March, you'll actually be able to go out to the fields, maybe see some of the plants and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I haven't seen tobacco fields before, but yeah.
Well, I think on the last couple trips, you it was too late in the season, yeah.
At least
the one that I went in 2015, it was May. It was fields were empty at that point. I think we went and just did like a cursory glance, but it was more. You know, here's how we fire cure and things like that, which is still very interesting, but there was nothing in the fields. They were empty. There's something about looking out over a tobacco field and seeing all those leaves. It's like, it's kind of impressive. If you haven't
March 15th through the 18th.
There you go. That's is that St. Patrick's Day?
As a matter of fact, it is. 17th is St. Patrick's Day.
There you go. So St. Patty's Day in Nicaragua. Do they have a big festival down there for that?
I'm sure there's just a bunch of Irish Catholics running around down there in Nicaragua having a St. Patrick's Day festival.
Hey, you never know, man.
But you never know.
We were down on this trip, and we went and had we went to a German restaurant. You never know.
I actually went. I've been to that restaurant.
You've been to Charlie's?
Uh huh.
Yeah, Charlie's awesome. We had that was a blast. There was six of us eating. Or at the table, it was the four of us who were down there with Mabacho and Charlie and his wife, and it was six people from six different countries, six different nationalities. I just thought that was really cool.
It's awesome
to be able to sit. And there was a lot of translating for my benefit, but I realized that the more you're around it, and the more you drink, or the more I'm around it, the more I drink, the more Spanish I know. So really? I was doing all right.
Yeah, you were dropping some Spanish when you got back. Totally fooled me too.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, Logan sent me a message, and normally my response would be like word, like word up, and my response was palabra. You had to look it up. I thought that's awesome.
I remembered from Pablo Escobar from Narco. Mi palabra, mi palabra.
There you go.
My word is my bond.
There you go. What did I say we were going to get into? What did I say we were going to get into on this side of the? Anecdote.
You never mentioned it.
So I'm at, I was at Casa Favilli. This is the first time I'm at the factory, and I'm going through the tour. Anybody in town, a tourist, because it's a tourist town, anybody there can walk into Casa Favilli, and I think it's like $4, and you get the whole tour, and I think at the end you get to try to roll your own cigar or put the wrapper on. And so I'm getting the tour while the rest of the group, Claudio and Cam and Anna were going around saying hi to everybody because they know everybody in the factory. I didn't. So I'm getting the tour from a young guy named Benoit. And I mentioned this yesterday on the pairing show, but I'll mention it again. And he's from Belgium. And he just graduated university probably about 2 months ago. And one way or another got in touch with Claudio, and he wants to learn, the tobacco industry, and he loves cigars. And a couple weeks after he graduated, he hopped on a plane and went to Granada. Which that's just awesome. Like, I never would have done that at 23. I wouldn't have had the guts to do that. But and he's living locally with a family, and I envy that freedom of spirit to do stuff like that. And he didn't speak a word of English. Of Spanish.
College graduate.
College graduate, yeah. And he wants to learn. Dude. He wants to learn the industry, and he's learning everything from the factory on down, and. He didn't know any Spanish either, and he's been down there for like 2 months, and he's, I don't want to say fluent, but he's doing really, really well. So good for him. Anyway, we're at the beginning of the tour. He doesn't know who I am. He knows that I work for the company, and I know a little bit more about cigars, but that's it. And we're looking at a map of Esteli, and we're talking about, and I started talking about Jalapa, and he kind of takes a step back, and he looks at me, and he says, "You do the pairing shows." So he's one of our Sharing Our Pairings listeners in Belgium. I just thought that was really freaky.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
That's freaky.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I mean, if he did know or someone tipped him off, I don't know. I don't think he did.
But you'll take it. You'll take it.
Yeah, I just thought that was really cool. But, the factory, man, they get a lot of people going in through tours and stuff. When I was there, there was these two German young ladies showed up to do a tour, and they were very, very pretty.
Some good looking Friar Lines.
Oh man. One of them looked like, kind of looked like Heidi Klum. It just kind of very, very, statuesque and just, they went through and did the tour. There was a group of Norwegians that went through,
Your people.
That's my people, right? Yeah. So I was chatting with all those guys. Everybody's just having a great time. It's a great factory. You gotta do it. Go to Granada. Story. Huh?
Go to Granada, and then go by, and do not go on the Florida Cana tour. It's a ripoff. It's pointless. Don't waste your time or money. Yes, it was horrible. Like, they literally, like, walk you around. You go into rooms where it's really dark. You watch a video. They don't let you really go anywhere because you can't smoke on the tour because they're like, oh, you'll catch the building on fire. I'm like, yeah, I know this room smells like whiskey, but, like, me walking in with a cigar is not going to spontaneously combust this room. But you couldn't smoke anywhere on the tour, so that was annoying. And then at the end, it was like, okay, we're going to go in the gift shop, and they just basically give you a free shot or whatever, and then you go in the gift shop. So we were in the – they were going around in the gift shop showing us stuff longer than we were out and about seeing, like
– That's a bummer.
In the rums. It was a bummer. It was totally crappy because I've been on some really good – not that I'm that big of a drinker, but, like, I've been to a few in Belgium, like, you know, Belgian breweries, like, doing lambics, like, if you've ever heard of, like, Lindemans. Like, yeah, that does the Lindemann's beer. We went there and we got to meet the fifth generation Lindemann, and, like, he gave us the tour. Dude, oh, it was cool. So legit. That's like, if you were a beer nerd, you would have been, like, just splooging everywhere. Like, it was cool. Like, it was so awesome. But then this was, like, just ridiculous. So don't waste your time. Don't go on the Fort Acani tour. Just go to down to San Juan del Sur and just hang out.
Yeah, there's and get down to the lake. We went down to the lake for lunch on I don't know, one of the last days, and we were at Villas Mombacho, which is like a, I don't know if it's like a little resort that they have down there. Resort might be a strong word, but there might be little villas that you can stay at. I'm not sure, but it's right there on the lake, and Lake Nicaragua is one of the biggest lakes in the world. And they had everything on the menu from, like, spaghetti to burritos and everything in between. They probably didn't even have burritos, but they had spaghetti and like, all kinds of different stuff, pizza and just, like, stuff that I didn't expect to see. So I wanted to eat some local fare. So they have this particular fish that comes out of the lake.
And like Nicaragua.
Yeah. It started with an M, and I can't remember what it's called. And they just
– Mackerel?
No. It's not mackerel. But it they just serve it just fried fish. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'll just get a fried fish fillet. It's a white fish. It'll probably be fine. But they bring it out, and, like, the head and everything is still on this bad boy. And the guy talked me into the large. Like, I said, I just get the medium. He's like, no, you want – I mean, in Spanish, he tells me I want the large. This plate was huge. It's got these fried plantains, and there's a salad and all this different sauce and stuff. It was great. But this fish was gigantic. And I have a picture of it here. I'll post it up on SigFed because I can't do a screen share here for whatever reason. But – this thing looked like a fish out of River Monsters, bro. It had teeth.
I bet it did. But it was, like, gangly.
Oh, it was like bang. It was. It had some serious chompers on it. I would never swim in Lake Nicaragua after seeing that, just that one fish. But it was good. Mm. It was really good.
It's tasty though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He squeezed.
He was lower on the food chain than you.
Absolutely. Well, when he's cooked it on the plate, yeah. If I'm in his environment, who knows? But just squeeze a little lime on there. Oh, man, it was so good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, hey, I'm getting hungry.
Speaking of, I got to tell you a funny story.
What do you got?
I'll tell you a funny story. It's about Callaway, and I've been itching to tell this story because it's so good. So she's starting to talk a lot now, and she can say a lot of things really good, but, like, a lot of words she can't. So yesterday she came home, and she's, like, in love with muffins. Like, she just loves eating muffins. I don't know why. She just loves
taking after her daddy. Little cakes,
Little cakes, baby. So Allie had made biscuits and gravy for breakfast the other day. So Allie thought, like, oh, do you want a biscuit? She goes, no, Mama, muffins. And she goes, oh, do you mean this? And she shows her the biscuit, you know, just a white roll, you know. And she goes, no, Mama, no iskits. I want muffins. And so Allie goes over and shows her, like, the muffin box, and Callaway literally gets the muffin box, opens it up, goes and gets the pan, like she's making muffins. So her and Allie make muffins, and then she sat down in front of the oven and watched them bake for 20 minutes or however long it was. And Mama Allie was talking to me and stuff. She goes, shh, Mama, muffins cooking. Shh. Like, it was so awesome, dude. It was, like, the coolest thing ever.
She's going to be a chef.
It was awesome. Dude, I don't know, man. But then tonight, she ate, like, 8 scoops of peanut butter. So we went from, like, making muffins and no biscuits to eat, like, 8 scoops of peanut butter. So I don't know.
That's funny. That when we talk about little cakes, that reminds me of another one of my favorite things. And I've got a question here I want to get into because we haven't really touched on it, but we've got a few minutes left. was there our trip for the safari in 2015 when you and I got to spend the day in Miami running around in Miami traffic. Shot. That was who did we met with? Roberto Duran,
Jack Tronio,
and anybody else?
Yep, Jack Tronio. Jack Tronio.
Oh, and Quesada. We went to Quesada.
Yeah, yeah.
And they at Quesada they gave us that Cuban coffee, which was fantastic.
That was legit.
And then we spent the rest of the time in traffic. But I'll never forget when we're at Roberto Duran.
I know
Duran.
Exactly what you're going to say. It's going to be so fat. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Burger King thing.
Oh, well, there was that. I forgot about that. But we're at Roberto Duran in their offices. And this is when Jack Tarania was still with the company. And we knew Jack a little bit from the show. And so we go in and we're just hanging out. And Roberto comes in and he's spending time with us, just kind of hanging out. We didn't really have an agenda. We just hanging out, getting to know you stuff and smoking cigars. And they asked if we wanted anything to drink and, you know, they bring in some coffees. And I think Roberto had some really nice rum there. So I know I sampled some of that. I don't think you did. Roberto's assistant, or I'm not sure what her title was or what her name was, but a young woman comes in with this plate of these tiny little pastries. And she sets them down, and they're like, I guess they were Cuban pastries. They ran the gamut from, you know, sweet to savory. And Logan just, she set them down, and he looked at me like, oh, I love little cakes. It just,
dude, I tore them itches up.
Yeah, you tore it up. That is for sure. But the other thing was, when we were sitting in traffic going from one meeting to the next, and there was this huge, I don't know, like a corporate office building.
It's their corporate headquarters.
And there was a big Burger King sign on the top of it. And Logan was like, that's the biggest Burger King I've ever seen. Let's go get a Whopper. That was hilarious. How much time do we have left?
About 5 minutes.
Millerman and I did a trade recently. He sent me a bunch of beer from Bell's, which I might crack one of those open here in a minute, so I appreciate that. He says he wasn't around for the early days of when we took over SigFed, the startup or acquisition phase is what he calls it. And he kind of wants us to give him a little bit of background. So I'll start, and Logan, you can jump in whenever you want. Cigar Federation was owned by Chris Kelly and Kyle Hoover of you know them better as Ezra Zion Cigars. They started Cigar Federation before they started Ezra Zion. And once Ezra Zion was off the ground and successful, they still had Cigar Federation, but they couldn't really run it because, you know, conflict of interest type of thing. Kind of the same reason that I'm leaving at this point, even though I'm not starting my own company. And they reached out to me and Logan to kind of bring they didn't want to just let it go because, I mean, they invested in it and it was, you know, starting up a website like Cigar Federation isn't cheap. So they didn't just want to let it die. So they brought us in to kind of resuscitate things. I guess that's really it. I mean, and then we were here for about a year. Then we started the store and did that for about 6 months. And then, Logan, that was, I think, right around the time that you made the purchase and became the MF CEO, correct?
That's pretty much nailed it. And then it's all been downhill since then.
I don't know. I feel like we've still had some uphill moments. Moments. I think 2016 was a pretty good year.
I know. We finally got rid of you. My prayers have been answered.
it was a good year, and it's capped with the cherry on top of getting rid of me. There it is. Thank you. Leaving on a good note. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I'm looking at some of these other comments here. Stefan, he says, congratulations on the new gig. One question, why Mombacho and why now with the looming FDA? I kind of talked about that already. Mombacho is a company that, you know, I believe in. And I know that's cliche, but really, like, think about it. How much would you love to work in an industry, and I'm not boasting here because I don't mean it that way, but given the opportunity to work in an industry that you're passionate about with a company that's run by people that you consider friends and to help them further their product, why wouldn't you do that? I don't know. I mean, the FDA and everything, it's a concern. Is
why would you not stay with Cigar Federation? Basically helping advance the cause.
I would love to. I think if I had time to do both, I would love to at least do the shows, maybe the pairing show and that kind of thing. It's tough because, I mean, now I'm the brand manager for a cigar company, so I can't really do reviews of other companies' stuff. You know, I mean, yeah. I'd love to. I'm still going to smoke other company cigars. Keep following me on Instagram.
It would send Charlie Minato into a tailspin.
Yeah.
So we can't have that.
Yeah, it's just not – as much as I'd love to stick around, the opportunity really isn't there to maintain objectivity no matter what. I mean, even if I smoke a cigar and say, hey, this is fantastic, nobody's going to believe me because I work for another company.
That's true.
So that makes it difficult. Sure, I'll come back to Cigar Chat as a guest and – you know, maybe guest host every now and again. Who knows if the need arises and the timing is right and it's somebody that's comfortable with it as far as a guest is concerned. Maybe that happens in the future. Who knows? But I'll still be around and I'll still be posting. But for the most part, I'm going to tell you to smoke Mombacho.
Of course.
I mean, really, even if you, regardless of all that, I was telling people to smoke Mombacho from day one because, I mean, the cigars really are fantastic. I was smoking some stuff that when I was down there in Nicaragua. I know we're running out of time, but Claudio had a bunch of what's the correct term for it? It's when you're testing your product to make sure it works. What do you call that?
Beta testing.
Yeah, maybe, whatever. We were beta testing some cigars off the table. They had a few days to kind of dry out and everything, and it's.
Sampling?
Yeah, sampling product to make sure that the consistency and things of that nature. So it was a nice experience. I'd never smoked a cigar that fresh that wasn't blended by me, at a cigar safari or something. So it's a unique experience. They're great right off the roller's table, but, everything out of Mombacho, and I'll be remiss to say this or to not say this by the end of the show, every single cigar goes in that aging room for 6 months before it goes to the shop. So you get a Mombacho fresh off the truck. It's got at least 6 months of rest on it already. And they're really good at 4 days. They're fantastic at 6 months. And they're even better at a year. Because, I mean, these that I'm smoking here, and this have the old band on them, these are about a year old. And this is I haven't worked my way through much of this because I've been talking, but. Just fantastic cigars, man. So that's why. I mean, the FDA stuff, if it happens, it happens. I don't have any control over it. But with the way that the election went, hopefully that's going to point us in a better direction.
Last parting words in 7 seconds.
I've enjoyed every second of the show. Even the moments when they were happening, I didn't think I would enjoy them. I enjoyed them. Again, for the last time, I want to say thank you to everyone in the Armed Forces who tunes into the show. And as I've said many times, and maybe it won't be the last time that I say this, you guys are built to do something I'm not built to do. I know this is taking longer than 7 seconds, but screw it. I have a wholehearted appreciation for you guys, what you do around the world to fight for us. We're sitting here messing around with cigars and beer and whatever, but you guys are doing the real thing, and nothing but respect. So hopefully, moving forward, we'll still be able to send you guys cigars because I know you enjoy them. So, and everybody at Cigar Federation, I'm still going to be around. I'm not going anywhere. I'll have a different little title underneath my avatar. It'll say brand instead of assistant to MFCEO, but that's it. Other than that, I'm still going to be there. So, it's been a lot of fun, man. It's been a great journey and, onward and upward, as they say. And just look out for Mombacho, man. We got some serious stuff and you guys need to smoke it. At the end of the show.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's the end of the show. All right. See you guys later.
Adios. And we're fucking back. Are we doing After Dark here?
Yeah, why not? I don't have anywhere to be. I kind of have to go to the bathroom.
I can wait. I know. I got a few minutes.
So.
I put up with you for 5 years. What's another 10 minutes?
No, and it's funny. I was... don't let Rob send you cigars. Still doing the Giants geek. Miller Man, yes. My plan is to still do as many Giants games as I can. That is, A lot of my hours are going to be East Coast hours, which I'm out here on the West Coast, so that means Daddy is going to be up early, Daddy being me. And I'm really going to be enjoying my coffee because I'll be up early. And I'm going to get that French press out and press some coffees in the morning. But
you better, sir.
But, yeah, you know, the hope is that the schedule works so I can still do some Giants games. I'm obviously going to cut back. I won't be doing weekends anymore, which I kind of stopped doing last year because, you know, working on deadlines all the time and then being gone on most weekends, excuse me, during the summer. My wife and I still like each other, so she wants me around sometimes. So it's I cut out on those. I won't be doing weekday day games, which is fine with me because getting in and out of the city during the day on a Wednesday is a bitch. There's no other word for it. It's a total fucking bitch.
So how many games will you be doing? Instead of 80, you'll be doing what?
I don't know.
Like 50?
Yeah, 40. 45, 50-ish.
Okay.
Like weeknight games, Monday night game, Tuesday night game, Wednesday night game, that kind of stuff. Sure. You know, as long as I'm not traveling and as long as I don't have a deadline for – I say that I'm out of a deadline-driven business, which is true, but every business has deadlines. So, you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with my work from Mbacha, which it didn't interfere with my when I was running my own business, so I don't see why it should be a problem, but – I'd say probably, you know, 40. So I'll probably do about 50% of the games as opposed to, you know, 80%.
Okay.
So that was Miller's question there. Quality control. Thank you, Shooter. That's what it was. That's what we were doing. It was quality control. That's the term.
Quality control. QC.
And I'll tell you what, man, that quality is on point.
Shameless plug, hashtag Rob.
I'm not going to keep pushing it, but, you know, we should have done like a 10% off Mombacho during the show or something, like a coupon.
You know
cut.
What? I could have, but you know what? Fuck it.
We should have done that. We should have done like the coupon code could have been like FURR or something like that.
I could have done that, but you know what? There's already been other retailers out there discounting their products. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, well, How'd you hear about that? Maybe that's a conversation for later.
Just tell you, and I'm not gonna tell you where I heard it from, but like,
don't mention
the fact. I'm not that stupid. I pride myself on the SigFit store. I try to abide by people's pricing policies, but I have a little folder, and I subscribe to most. You know, even though I don't buy cigars other places, like I'm subscribed to most of their emails, and whenever I see something that is egregiously, you know, violating policy, I just save that email, take a screenshot. So that way when that brand manager one day comes to me and says, "Hey Logan, I heard this story about your discounting." I'm like, "Well, no, actually I wasn't, but hey, here's 47 examples of someone waxing your product." So and then they usually just shut up and leave me alone.
So you keep a log.
I literally keep an archive of it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't rat anyone out, but I do it because I've had, and I'll tell you this, and I won't tell you who, but I had someone, and I'll tell you after the show, I had a brand come to me. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 9 months ago, and saying, "Hey, you know, you're not supposed to discount my product off of X." And I go, "Well, I didn't." And they're like, "Yeah, but I saw it on this place where you did this discount and you were doing 15% off and then people could stack coupons." I go, "Actually, I wasn't. Did you actually read the post?" And I was like, "I did it with a coupon for just 15% off, which is your minimum. And da 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 da." And they're like, "Oh, well, yeah, you're right." And I was like, "Well, also, here's about 15 other emails of, you know, people agreed." And they had one recently, egregiously doing it. And that's one thing I hate, and hopefully you will not have to be a part of, is the price controls in the cigar industry. Because everyone says, "Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to discount past 10%. And then some people are honest, some people aren't. And I don't really care, because I believe is, okay, if you're willing to take your margin and you're willing to take a hit on it, who cares? Like that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And hopefully you won't have to. Yeah. I mean, but think about it, right? Like, not to get all like deep here, but like it's very much an online versus a brick and mortar, right? Online, you don't have the overhead costs and all that kind of stuff. And that's why you always will see typically cigars cheaper online than in a brick and mortar, but you're also paying for the experience. So, you know, I'm under a thing that says, hey, because if I can get someone to, if I take 20% off a cigar and they're like, well, but I can't sell it in my B&M. Well, I would counter that with, you've got someone in front of the customer. I do not. And if you can't sell someone a cigar that's a buck and a half more expensive because you give them great service and recommend a cigar, and I'm doing it solely off price, then you suck. That's just my opinion.
That's a fair point. And it's, I mean, there's a philosophical discussion in there that we don't need to get into. And my baptism into the industry is still in process. So I can still see both sides of it. There's certain things, then there's egregious. Egregious is different. When you get egregious with the prices that you're putting something at and, you know, really, you know, blowing something out just so you can make room, that's a little bit different than, you know, well, 10% was the max and you did 15. Okay. That's one thing. But again, I'm not a manufacturer. My money's not in this. So it's, I can't really speak on it from that side.
Oh, I know.
So,
I really hope that every time there's a pricing violation, they make you handle it, because it will be so awesome to hear about you have to deal with some of these people. But I wanted to say one point on this is that I don't think, like, I mean, agreed, like, for example, and this is why I believe this, right? Because I've learned a lot about tobacco, but I've been, you know, working with Delaware Cigars. I've been, you know, much more indoctrinated to cigarettes because they sell an absolute shizer ton of cigarettes. Like, are you frozen?
No, I'm here.
Like, you didn't move for like 10 seconds. And I thought, like, okay, we definitely froze up there.
I'm wrapped in
it. But they sell a shizer ton of cigarettes. Okay, thank you. They sell a shizer ton of cigarettes. And what happened when the FDA, you know, kiboshed all the cigarettes, the cigarette manufacturers, all the cigar, right now, and B&Ms are like, well, I don't want to bring on this product because what if I can't sell it and I'm stuck with it? Well, the cigarette industry, all the ones that weren't predicated, that weren't going to continue, all the cigar or cigarette manufacturers bought that product back. So in the state we're in, even if you're egregiously taking something where they're losing money on selling that product, I still don't have a problem with that, because at the end of the day, unless that cigar manufacturer is willing to buy back that product and say, okay, I'll buy it back, you don't, you know, pour it out, then what other choice do they have? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's the environment and the climate under which cigar retailers are being forced to work under nowadays is a little bit difficult. I mean, in California, the taxes just went up. Whoop, I mean, huge. Mm. I mean, I was reading
Bigly.
Based on, and I'm going to paraphrase these numbers, but Charlie from Half Wheel was saying
67%.
I don't know what the percentage is, but it was like currently in California, if a cigar has an MSRP of $9.50, you're paying like $12.27 or something like that. Once this new bill this new proposition goes into effect, that cigar is going to be like $17.85 or some crazy number like that. It's approaching, and like John was saying, it's approaching Canada prices. But the thing with California, man, and I've lived here my whole life, you could pass a tobacco tax and the money in the bill could read just like this: tax on tobacco products of 100% of the gains or the money from this, the money collected from this tax will be used to club baby seals. Right. And people will pass it at 75%, because in California, they see tobacco and they say, okay, yeah, I'm against it. That's it. I mean, but now you can smoke weed. I can grow my six plants, so I don't have to buy them. But I can grow
Are
six
you serious?
Plants. It passed. I can grow
legally.
Legally. I can legally grow six plants of marijuana at my house, as long as it's not
no repercussions.
Well, as long as it's not like visible from the street, so I can't grow it in my front yard. But and it has to be in a protected area, so like a greenhouse or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So somebody can't get into my backyard and steal it, theoretically, I guess is the point. Okay. But I can grow up to six plants. And it's going to be, it's basically the way that I read it is, if you go back to Pulp Fiction, when at the beginning, when Jules is talking to Vincent and he says, okay, tell me again about the hash bars in Amsterdam. And so he says, well, if you're, it's legal to buy it, it's legal to own it. And if you're a proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, but you can't smoke it in public. They want you to smoke it in your home or in certain designated areas. Like, I'm basically quoting the film verbatim. So I can't walk down the street smoking a joint, but I can smoke up at my house and I can go to whatever is deemed a legal place to purchase it. I can't go to Safeway and buy a pack of Marlboro weed cigarettes. It's not that yet. But I can go to, they probably call them pot depots or whatever it's called. I can go in there. I don't need any special, anything special. I just need to.
You don't need like a medical, like a prescription or anything.
No, I can just walk in and buy it for recreational use. But I can't just walk down the street, or I can't fire up at a bar or whatever. I can smoke at the establishment, I assume, if they have some
sort of.
You
can't drive high.
It's a lot like alcohol. Like I can buy alcohol, I can't sell it legally.
Right.
I mean, there's a secondary market, but legally you're not supposed to do it. I can't. I can distill my own. I think it's like beer. I can make my own beer, and I can give it away. I can't sell it. I can't walk down the street drinking a beer, and I can't just go into any place and drink alcohol. But any place where alcohol is allowed, be it a bar or a restaurant, I can do that. So it's the same kind of concept. But if I'm drunk and I'm driving, it's drunk driving. That's a DWI. So it's
I cannot. So how much would six plants actually produce?
I have no clue. I've never once grown weed.
I mean, I feel like that'd be. Well, I know. I'm not asking you because you're some kind of like underground drug dealer. I'm just wondering. Like, I mean, that seems like a grip of weed. Like. Yeah, that seems like a grip of weed. Like
six plants.
I mean, you could just like.
Well, I mean, you're only smoking the buds. You're not really, at least back when I knew about that stuff. When I was, I never really smoked it illegally, but you're only smoking the buds. You're smoking the flowers, quote unquote. So you're not just smoking the leaves. I don't know. I have no concept, but I mean, I can do it now. So. Hey, if you ever come visit.
Are you going to grow pot now? Are you going to grow pot now?
I frankly haven't thought about it, but legally I can, so maybe I'll just do it just to do it. But
it'd be a fun science experiment.
I'm not a botanist, so I don't really know, but hey, you never know. Yeah.
The internet.
I don't have a degree in botany, but I have a degree in Google.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's
but, yeah,
crazy.
But you know what the bitch of it is?
Six plants.
There's going to be – and Colorado has the same issue. They have this huge budget surplus. All this money because people want to buy weed, right? So they have all this money, and they can't spend it on any federally funded projects. So they can't spend it on infrastructure for the most part. You can't spend it on schools. Right. So, like, what do you spend?